Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
She's one of the world's most dynamic superstars, whose powerful voice launched her improbable rise to fame. Jennifer Hudson first made her mark as an American Idol, then turned a stunning defeat into Oscar-winning glory. Her fairy tale reached its peak when she found true love. But just when she had it all, Jennifer lost everything. Rocked with grief, she found strength through the healing power of music. But her greatest comfort came from a precious gift of her own. Now, for the first time, Jennifer opens up about surviving her devastating nightmare. Behind the triumph, behind the tragedy, this is the story of Jennifer Hudson, behind the music. It's a busy afternoon for Jennifer Hudson.
Everything is all over the place right now because one day it's a photo shoot and then the evening we're in the studio and then the next day I'm in my dialect coaching, so I'm all over the place. But today is fun because I love taking pictures.
Beautiful, Jennifer. I love the smile.
The Grammy and Oscar-winning superstar enjoys showing off her sleek new look while also showing off the biggest superstar in her life. Son David Jr.
What is this? Who are these people? Look, picture. I got the cutest little baby in the whole wide world. I'm still getting adjusted to being a mom and, well, just balancing out everything, like the career, the being at home part, the mom part, which is, of course, the biggest job of it all because it never stops. It's 24/7. You clap. He makes me feel like the most special person on earth. I want him to get the same love and the same upbringing as my mother gave us. And I know for sure that way he'll be loved.
Jennifer's love of family began on the south side of Chicago, where she was born on September 12, 1981. The youngest of three, Jennifer, her sister Julia, and brother Jason, were raised in a loving environment by their single mother, Darnell.
I remember when my mom used to sit and bounce me on her knee, or I used to itch a lot to put me to sleep. She'd have to scratch me. She had so much patience. She used to sing her songs. She used to sing The Temptations. Could have been anything that you wanted to, but I could tell the way you do the things you do.
But the real singer in the family was Jennifer's grandmother, who blew away the congregation every Sunday at church.
I remember hearing my grandmother sliding through the house in her house shoes and her house gown in the kitchen singing hymns.
When Jennifer sings, I can hear a little bit of that voice in Jennifer's voice.
As a 7-year-old, Jennifer joined her grandmother in the gospel choir. And by the time she was a teenager, she was expected to take center stage.
I wanted to sing a solo, but when it came time to get up on the stage to sing it, I was like, why did I do this to myself? I don't want to sing. Oh my God, I'm so nervous. And then that's the last thing I remember before I sang. Once I finished singing, everybody was standing up on their feet, clapping. And I'm like, wow. Music was it for me.
That's all Jennifer wanted to do was sing and be famous.
By the time Jennifer enrolled at Dunbar High School, she would sing everywhere and anywhere. And her childhood friend, Walter Williams, helped her make a name for herself around town.
I fell in love with her voice, and so I was so passionate about Jennifer, and I just wanted the whole world to see what I saw in her.
He started, quote unquote, managing her. He would pay for her hair, buy her outfits, and set her up with a makeup artist, and just take her around to perform at different local events here in Chicago.
I just kept pushing her because I knew that I was investing in something that was great.
Thanks to Walter's tireless efforts, Jennifer sang in talent shows, weddings, anywhere to get exposure.
We would go to the gay clubs, like they would have drag queens singing, lip singing, and they would make tip money. Well, I'm a real girl and I really sing, so I would go in and make all the money because I'm singing for real.
It was very weird and scary because she had never been to a gay club, but she got in there and did her thing, and of course she won because she had raw talent.
And in 2003, that raw talent helped land 21-year-old Jennifer her highest paying gig yet. As a chorus girl on a Disney Wonder Cruise. After a year at sea, she was ready for an even bigger challenge. In the winter of 2004, Jennifer traveled to Atlanta, where the mother of all talent shows, American Idol, was holding an open casting call.
I remember the day that she auditioned. My thing about Jennifer, the first time I saw her, and this is what I look for all the time, she just had natural, God-given, raw talent.
It's all like a blur. It was surreal. It was like I was outside of myself.
In 2004, Jennifer Hudson was a little-known singer from the South Side of Chicago. But now she faced the ultimate challenge as one of the 12 finalists on American Idol, the most watched TV show in the nation.
It felt like being in a bubble because you go on the show and you really don't get to go outside of the Idol world. To me, that was the toughest part. But where I come from, as my grandma would say, stand flat foot and sing, and just sing to the top of your lungs.
All of us felt as though we could win, but I think every contestant knew in our hearts that with Jennifer, we're looking at a star.
Each week, the Idol contestants gave it everything they had, knowing the nationwide vote would send one of them home. As Jennifer survived each round, her family cheered from the front row.
You know, I remember she had the most loving family. Everybody was there. Everybody was so supportive, and they were really sweet.
We all took weeks, and we went down to LA, and we just wanted her to know and to understand that she has the support, and we always wanted her to have a little bit of home.
Meanwhile, back in Chicago, Jennifer was becoming a hometown hero.
Jennifer was a local celebrity. The moment that she got on American Idol, there were news articles about the school that she graduated from. There were churches that had huge gatherings on Tuesday night, and they would watch American Idol, and then they would rush home in order to vote for her. Chicago seriously supported Jennifer during those times.
Oh my God, my mother had me going to the Renner Center to rent a big screen TV.
Jennifer Hudson.
I mean, it was so crazy. We had the t-shirts and we had so much fun.
Jennifer also became a fan favorite across America. Audiences loved her singing and the judges loved her sass, if not her style.
Her and Simon had this thing going on about these outfits. She could always laugh at it with us, laughing at her, laughing at herself, but she was just starting to get into the zone and figure out who she was.
With the competition down to 7 finalists, Jennifer sang the Barry Manilow classic, Weekend in New England, her most impressive performance yet.
On a Weekend in New England, I was able to show who I was as a vocalist, as an artist, and that's all I could ask for. And for it to be received so well. And it's like, okay, this is what I'm used to.
That was the one week that we went into the elimination, not worrying as to whether or not Jennifer was safe.
Unbelievably, Jennifer was voted off the show. Her dream of becoming the next American Idol was over.
We were all shocked. Vocally, talent-wise, I mean, she was one of the best in the whole season. Sometimes the public doesn't get it right away, you know what I mean?
But Jennifer's elimination wasn't without controversy.
Residents in parts of Illinois are cleaning up today from devastating spring storms and tornadoes.
There were, I think, 3 tornadoes that whipped through the Chicagoland area and knocked down power lines and telephone lines. Clearly, the main base of her support simply couldn't get through that day.
Nobody was able to vote. None of my family, nobody. My mom's like, I didn't want you to worry about it, but we couldn't vote. And to me, I was like, well, God spoke, you know? Hey, what can you do about that? We called her and said, Jennifer, are you okay? She's like,
I'm fine. Are you all okay? And we're like, no!
Jennifer reacted calmly to the disappointment. At 22, she'd made a name for herself on America's Biggest TV Show, and that would have to be enough, for now.
I just knew I was going somewhere, and I had to sing my way to it, and I couldn't give up.
Coming up, a dream girl takes Hollywood by storm. When Behind the Music continues.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the spring of 2004, 22-year-old Jennifer Hudson was on the fast track to winning American Idol, only to see her dream derailed.
Being on the Idol, it was like a roller coaster. So it was like you don't even know what's about to hit you.
When she got eliminated, everyone is telling her, you're gonna get a record deal, don't worry about it.
Jennifer stayed visible on the American Idol summer tour, but her brush with fame appeared short-lived. Soon enough, she was back in Chicago on the local circuit, playing corporate events. Just another singer hoping to make it.
After the tour and she came home, the contracts did not start coming.
Nothing happened. And we couldn't figure out, why isn't no one calling?
It's like you're stuck in between worlds after coming off a reality show, because the world where you came from sees you as this huge star now.
What are you doing here?
And they expect you to be doing big, big things. And then the world that you should be in or want to be in is like, you haven't gotten there yet.
I'm tired.
She was like, you know, well, if nothing happens, I'm just gonna take my money and go into real estate. And I looked at her, I'm like, no.
After a year of paying her dues, in the fall of 2005, Jennifer's exposure on Idol finally paid off. A film adaptation of the musical Dreamgirls was starting production, and she was called to audition for the part of Effie White, along with 700 other women.
Imagine that it would be some stiff competition, you know. But I know I got this part. I don't even care if they go off and cast somebody else. They still gonna have to come back and give the part to me.
After multiple callbacks over a grueling 8-month stretch, Jennifer finally received word from Dreamgirls director, Bill Condon.
Jennifer, I'm just calling to tell you, you are Effie White. And I was like, I did it, Bill, I did it, I made it. You mean to tell me I made it? And I remember being on my knees, just like praising God.
Like every milestone in Jennifer's life, this was a victory not just for her, but for the entire Hudson family.
First thing you do is like, okay, who do I call? Who do I share this with? Who, you know, mom is first. So I called her. Of course, she went screaming through the house, telling my sister, my brother, and just everybody was so excited.
It was overwhelming, you know, almost. Oh my God, you just couldn't believe it.
Jennifer finally had her big break, joining a high-powered cast that included Eddie Murphy, Beyonce, and Jamie Foxx.
Before I went in, I already had my mindset that from my experience on Idol, that I would never let anyone else intimidate me. But, oh, Lord help me. First time I met Jamie, he walks on the set, and they just like, action, okay, kiss. And I'm like, huh?
I really didn't know much about this girl. Like, I knew she had been on American Idol, but I mean, this is her first go at it in a big movie.
This is new to me. I'm not comfortable with that. Hi, Jamie, can we meet? I mean, it was just instant. Walk on the set, kiss.
It was a nice kiss. And I've kissed a few people in my lifetime.
Jennifer was a natural on camera. And her crowning moment came when she performed the film's most pivotal song, And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going.
Oh, goodness. I remember shooting that scene. Amanda, I'm telling you, and it was extremely emotional. Anything I felt, I just put it into that moment. I'm singing right here, right now.
If there was any questions about can this girl handle this song, gone within the first line. And tears in my eyes watching, people would just come to just hear this girl sing the song over and over.
Released in December of 2006, Dream Girls was a huge hit. Critics and audiences alike were blown away by Jennifer's performance.
Once this film came out, everybody was talking about Jennifer Hudson.
All this for my sister, you know. It was like unreal.
Jennifer took home over 30 awards for her role, including the prestigious Golden Globe.
Jennifer Hudson.
I have always dreamed, but never, ever this big.
And only the Oscars remain.
You never know.
Nominated for Best Supporting Actress, Jennifer's wild ride reached a dizzying climax in February of 2007.
I remember sitting there, Bill Condon, I asked him to go with me. And before I knew it, they said my
Jennifer
name, Jennifer Hudson. And I was like, Jennifer, don't you get up, because did nobody hear that but you, okay? And then all of a sudden, everybody's looking at me, and I'm like, well, maybe they did just say my name. And Bill like, get up, girl, you better get up.
I'm still in shock. Like, did I really just win? I didn't, like I said, you never know, and you can never be too sure. And it was a surprise, and it still is. It's gonna take a while to get used to this.
Just 2 years after being voted off American Idol, Jennifer Hudson was now an Academy Award-winning actress.
To be nominated for everything on the planet and win it in pretty much your first movie blew a lot of people away.
It has to taste sweet to be heard like this. I know that on the inside she says, I got him. Ooh, just a little bit, look at what's happening. And I think that's what great stories are about, when the underdog really gets a chance to win.
In 3 short years, Jennifer Hudson had gone from American Idol defeat to Oscar-winning glory. At age 26, she began 2008 as Hollywood's unlikely It Girl.
Are you getting flooded with scripts?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I get like, I can't even keep up. It's like, okay, all right, maybe not this one. What about this one?
It was such a whirlwind that just would not slow down. I haven't even had a chance to stop and say, who am I? Where am I? Wait a minute, what's going on? Ever since I got the call for Dream Girls, it's like a rocket that just shot off, and it's been going ever since.
The success of Dream Girls opened the floodgates. Opportunistic record labels who had once shown little interest were now knocking on Jennifer's door. Clive Davis, the legendary recording industry mogul, was one of those who had initially passed.
Although I felt that Jennifer was wrongfully eliminated when she was on American Idol, I did not express any interest in signing Jennifer. It was really when I got the tape of her audition for Dream Girl that I saw a depth of talent, that I saw that special ingredient that says this is a major new star in the making.
Clive quickly signed Jennifer, and in June of 2008, she went into the studio, fulfilling a lifelong dream.
I always said my voice is like a tree with many branches. I needed to prove that, no, I'm not just a big ballad singer. I can do radio music. I can give you a dance track just the same.
Helping guide her through the process was R&B superstar Ne-Yo, who produced and penned the album's hit single, Spotlight.
The difficulty in her voice is taking something so grand and regal and putting it in a box this big, which is pop music. You know what I mean? I think we did all right, if I do say so myself.
She took her time with it. She felt like her fans and the people that were gonna be buying that record were gonna want to hear something great. They expected something great, and she wanted to give them something great.
Jennifer's career was on fire. While recording her album, she appeared in two of the year's biggest films, Sex and the City and The Secret Life of Bees. On the outside, Jennifer had it all, but privately, she wanted someone to share it with. And when she was introduced to reality star David Otunga, she found what she was looking for.
I saw him on TV.
And I was like, wow, do anybody else see that? I think that is the most beautiful man I've ever seen in my life.
I actually didn't really follow her career too much. I knew the name, I knew she was from American Idol, and I hate to admit this, but I hadn't even seen Dreamgirls.
Their chemistry was undeniable. Jennifer and David were now an item.
A few months into it, I realized, wait a minute, I got a girlfriend now. How did this happen? I wasn't even looking for anybody.
With their romance in full bloom, David accompanied Jennifer to the biggest event of the summer, the 2008 Democratic National Convention.
She was excited about that. Like, oh my God, Obama wants me to sing for him. Can you believe Obama wants me to sing for him? I'm going to sing for Obama.
I remember being on the phone with my sister and they like, you nervous, Jenny? You nervous? And I'm like, no, I can't wait to get out there and do it. I'm so excited. I'm here to represent for Chicago.
As with all the big moments in her life, Jennifer shared this one with her mother, Darnell.
I remember sitting there watching her. I was with her mom. And we're just like, this is history being made right now. And, you know, Jennifer's a part of it. Wow.
Jennifer's self-titled debut album was released and immediately shot to number 2 on the R&B charts.
I remember going to the record store just to see it on the shelf. And I'm like, it's a picture of me just like, this is my first album and it's finally here. This is the moment that I've worked for and waited for my whole life.
But less than a month later, the unthinkable happened. On October 24th, 2008, a devastating tragedy would change Jennifer's life forever.
I walked into my office, got a call, and just like held the phone. I remember just being silent.
The mother and brother of Oscar-winning actress and singer Jennifer Hudson were found murdered in the family's home yesterday. And tonight, that tragedy is compounded by the growing mystery over what happened to Hudson's 7-year-old nephew.
Jennifer, who was in Florida at the time, rushed back to Chicago.
Even as this tragic double murder settles in, the Hudson family has no time to mourn, with that search intensifying for Julian.
All I ask, I don't care who you are, just let my baby go, please.
It was strictly about being hopeful and trying to get Julian back home.
Didn't find it yet, huh? Oh, not yet.
People were constantly coming in and out and just trying to figure out what this is about, who did it, what does it mean? You know, there's so many unanswered questions at that time.
Police have taken into custody Hudson's estranged brother-in-law, William Balfour, who is currently being questioned as a person of interest in this case.
This morning, there is speculation that these senseless murders may have taken place over something as simple and mundane as an argument over car payments.
3 days later, the Hudson family received the news they had been dreading.
Oscar-winning actress Jennifer Hudson arrived at the Cook County Medical Examiner's office with the grim task of identifying the body of her 7-year-old nephew.
We can confirm that the body located inside the vehicle was the body of 7-year-old Julian King.
Jennifer's beloved mother, brother, and nephew were gone. The nightmare had reached its horrific conclusion, but the pain was just starting to sink in.
Jennifer was absolutely in shock. You never expect anything like that. So the reaction is shock, anger, hurt, frustration. All the emotions a normal person would feel, she felt it.
On October 24th, 2008, Jennifer Hudson's world was shattered by the tragic loss of her mother, Darnell, brother, Jason, and 7-year-old nephew, Julian. The only thing left was to say goodbye. 300 mourners attended a private service in Jennifer's old Southside Chicago neighborhood. American Idol friend Fantasia sang a special gospel hymn that meant so much to the Hudson family.
I remember everyone kind of kept it together until Fantasia sang. Once Fantasia sang, it became a lost cause. For anyone who was prone to cry, that's when the tears came, because her song during the funeral was so very emotional.
The local community showed its support by lining the streets with flowers, candles, and teddy bears. Jennifer's celebrity friends also reached out, with everyone from Simon Cowell to Barack Obama expressing their condolences.
The
tragedy that Jennifer Hudson experienced, it was something so evil and foul. I know I wanted to try to find out whoever it was that did this terrible thing, because Jennifer Hudson belonged to us now. How could somebody be that evil to somebody so nice?
It's all like a blur. It was surreal. You know, it wasn't really, it was like I was outside of myself. I pray when I get up in the morning and pray before I lay down at night. If I didn't, I'd wake up depressed. Day didn't go right. For almost 2 weeks straight inside one room with just family and friends coming in and out. I mean, because of course the press was everywhere. And it was like, where's Jennifer?
Jennifer learned the hard way what the cons of celebrity are. It's like everybody is right there in your business. And it's like, this has nothing to do with my singing. This has nothing to do with my acting. This is personal. This is family. This is something that I'm supposed to be dealing with in privacy. But you can't, because you're Jennifer Hudson now.
Coming up, a precious new gift to ease the pain. When Behind the Music continues.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was pretty much secluded from everything that was going on. I didn't watch any TV. I didn't want to even know what was going on because I had more than enough to deal with. I remember being asked to do a film around that same time, and I was like, I have to get adjusted to who I am now. So I can't be another character, be another character if I don't know who I am.
After 2 months in seclusion, Jennifer took the first brave steps toward resuming her life, and it was music that led the way.
I can't do this anymore. I don't sit still very well, and I knew if I sit here and dwell on it, it's gonna be harder.
One of Jennifer's first public appearances was at the Grammys in February of 2009. Her self-titled solo album was nominated for 3 awards.
The Grammy for Best R&B album goes to.
It was just so much buildup to that night, and I'm just like shaking. I'm so nervous. And she's not nervous at all. She's trying to calm me down.
Jennifer Hudson.
Making the moment extra special was accepting the award from her idol, Whitney Houston.
I didn't think anybody else was gonna get it but her. I knew she was going to win it. Absolutely. One of the greatest voices of our time.
Oh my God, send me over the moon right there, receiving my first Grammy from Whitney Houston.
I don't really think it was about the Grammy itself. I just think it was more of a moment in her life that she won't forget. That was a moment I will never forget, that I won't.
I don't really know what to say. First of all, I got Whitney Houston presenting me, and wow, I'm just in awe right now.
I really cannot put into words how special of a moment that was for me. It was like, if there could be anything to lift me up, that would be it.
But the dramatic high point of the evening was Jennifer's performance on stage. She chose a little-known track from her album that now took on greater meaning, You Pulled Me Through.
I feel like I've seen the highs of the high and the lows of the lows. So it made perfect sense, me singing this song. But when I recorded it, I just didn't know what I was singing it for. It had a purpose, and that was its purpose.
I said to her, you're the storyteller, paint the picture. When she sung that, it transcends, and it's this performance that just reaches straight through the television, just grabs your heart. You know, it was just amazing.
With a heavy heart, Jennifer sang for her fallen family.
I could hear my brother in my head, like, Jennifer, you need to kill this. You need to get up and do you. I knew he would be disappointed if I didn't do it justice.
God never gives you anything that you can't handle. And again, this isn't a religious thing, but you go like, wow, he's allowing her to handle it tonight. he's allowing her to still have a sweet taste in her mouth after all of these bitter things.
Towards the end, it was hard. I mean, because I'm always emotional, and I've had to work on that. And my mama was, it used to irritate herself, of Jenny, why you always gotta be crying when you get up there to sing? What are you crying for? I was definitely thinking of my family when I was singing that song.
Just 27 years old, Jennifer Hudson had been through hell and back. But as 2009 got underway, she had some good news to share. She was expecting her first child, and the joy of new life would honor the memory of those who had been lost.
I think it was Mother's Day when I told my family, which of course we needed some good news by then, and everybody was so excited.
It definitely makes it easier once you've, you know, lost lives to have this new life after everything that had happened. And people were just so happy, you know, there were tears, everything.
I initially wanted the baby to be born on my nephew's birthday, Julian's, which was August 14th, since the due date was August 12th. And I'm like, if I could hold out to the 14th, and the doctor's like, I have never seen somebody trying to stay pregnant as long as they can. And I'm like, I just want to make it. I just want to make it.
But the baby had other plans. On August 10th, 2009, Jennifer and David welcomed David Daniel Otunga Jr. into the world.
I wanted to feel the labor pains. Baby, I didn't even make it to. I was like, I done felt enough. Do whatever you need to do. Get this baby out of me.
And I remember just saying, oh my gosh, it's little David. Jenny, it's little David.
And he came out yelling and screaming and peeing everywhere.
And we were smiling, and it was the most amazing experience.
And there he was, my little munchkin.
Today, Jennifer shares everything with her son and supports him just as her family always supported her.
It's so many things to honor and to be remembered, and it's so many ways to do that. Like, in a way, my brother drives me in my music. My son reminds me of my nephew. And being a mother reminds me of my mom. In so many ways, I channel her because she was such a great mom.
Jennifer Hudson has endured the darkest of times and has emerged with grace and resolve, an inspiration to her friends, fans, and family.
Jennifer Hudson, with all of what she's gone through, the good, the great, the tragic, no matter what happens, you can't take the talent away from her.
I think that's a theme within our family. We expect each other to be strong, and you don't stop when you hit a roadblock. You find a way to go around it or jump over it.
I hear it every day, like when we're traveling places, oh, it's because of you and, you know, what you've been through, and to see how you persevered and still stay so strong. My daughter looks up to you, you're a role model.
I feel like I've led about at least 3-4 different lives. There you will have your ups and your downs, and everything is bittersweet across the board. But I would not trade my career for nothing in the world. I hope to still be around 20 years from now. I don't want to be like, oh, this was just a trend. No, I want my son, his generation, to know who Jennifer Hudson was.
From 2009 on, Jennifer Hudson's worked tirelessly to advance herself as both an actress and musician. Over the short span of 3 years, Jennifer put out 2 critically acclaimed albums, I Remember Me in 2011 and J-Hud in 2014. J-Hud debuted at number 10 on the charts and featured It's Your World, which was later nominated at the Grammys for Best R&B Performance. Her vocal prowess was recognized in 2013 when given the honor of performing for Obama at the president's inaugural ball. That very same year, Hudson earned herself a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. There seemed to be nothing Jennifer Hudson couldn't do. She's acted in movies, TV shows, plays. She even found time to coach The Voice for multiple seasons in both the U.S. and U.K. In 2021, Hudson had the opportunity to play her lifelong idol Aretha Franklin in the biopic Respect. Despite her personal hardships, Jennifer Hudson has persevered. Her talent across the board is evident as one of the few artists of her generation to have both successful acting and musical careers.
Listen and subscribe to Behind the Music on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Be sure to rate and review Behind the Music on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Want more episodes? You can watch remastered, Best of the Vault, and new episodes of Behind the Music only on Paramount Plus.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.